puke. Pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good Tuesday morning. Good Tuesday. If I look a little bit like I haven't had a whole lot of sleep, my precious little wife, who, as I told you, was gone all weekend down to be with one of her friends down in Savannah, Georgia, flew Allegiant. People have their ups and downs about Allegiant. Pretty cheap, direct flight. She was supposed to fly out at home yesterday at 7:40. And they had to bring a plane or a plane crew in from somebody else. So she came cruising in about 12:45 last night. I picked her up. And so I think I slept a little bit last night. She slept a little bit up there, I think. Good to have her home. I was thinking about this as I was walking around last 4 days with her not being around. How quiet my house is without her. Thank God for her every day. And those of you out there who've lost spouses, I don't think we can even understand the severing, what it must be like to lose somebody. Now, Michelle's echoes would be everywhere in my house if she wasn't around her. So I thank God that she got home, and pray she rests up, because the grandkids are going to come over. They can't wait to see Gigi. It's been 4 days since they've seen her. They're in serious withdrawal over. So great to be here, man. We got it stacked up here today, and a lot of stuff I want to share with you. As I always, not always, want to say today, anybody got any breaking news they want to throw out here before I dig in and cover a few issues? Dale, good to see you. We got like 35 folks who are in here live in the queue today. We got thousands listening literally around the world. Let me start right there. I don't know how to say it. I just say it, I guess. You know, this whole thing that we're doing here really humbles me and encourages me and frightens me, and it's become more than I don't know, become more. I used to be on terrestrial radio. Terrestrial radio means regular radio. I used to be on that, and I was pretty, controversial. They loved to use that word. Well, here has always been my dream. I want to do what I do here on secular radio. See, I think there's an audience for it. I think as the debate would be so good to have somebody go on secular radio and openly defend the gospel and fight against. Oh, I think it would really rock. And I was on it for quite a while here locally, and then stepped away, and then started this Google Meet, Google Hangout is what it was originally called. And I'm just amazed. I've been working out. I don't know if you guys, my belly's getting smaller despite what the pictures say. I've lost double digits. I told you that. I'm going to discipline myself now to get back in shape and stay in shape. And I was out for my walk yesterday, put my headphones in, put my cell phone on, and I'm looking for something to listen to as I'm walking. And all of a sudden, a live notification popped up that JR was doing a show. I thought, what's JR doing a show for on Monday? The heck, this can't be right. And I clicked on it. And it was. It was JR at the last call. He and Kevin were doing a show, and I'm amazed as I began to listen to it. It was a radio program broadcast, a YouTube broadcast, with two guys from, are you ready? New Zealand. Kiwis. And the more I listened, the more I became enthralled and listened to it. Simon Owen, who's one of the guys, Simon's probably, they're like 4 days ahead of us or something over there in New Zealand. I mean, I don't even know how that time works, but they're way ahead of us.
16 hours.
Thanks, JR. 16 hours. How's that even work? How can you be 16 hours? Listen, if the rapture comes in New Zealand, do they go before us or after? How does that, somebody help me? So if they would say that the rapture's coming tomorrow, does that mean they're already gone? Or are they behind us? Well, anyway, I'm listening to Simon and Tony, two guys from New Zealand that listen to the show, and I've kind of connected together. Just, you know, hey, oh, you're from here. I try to put people together. Is what I do. And they went on and just told the most unbelievable story about what JR did. A great job. I'll let you come in here, Mitt, JR, and talk about that a little bit. About Simon Owen finished second in the British Open in 1978, I believe it was, to Jack Nicklaus. Finished second in the British Open. He's a professional golfer, still plays some senior events, that kind of stuff. But to think that Simon Owen said that he credited our show with really kind of a spiritual awakening. Tony said the exact same thing. And then, you know, I'm hearing from people. I just can't tell you what's going on in my inbox and email. And one of the things that we're about to announce is some changes with the Salt and Light Brigade, because I can't keep up with it. Chad's done a wonderful job of running the Texas Salt and Light Brigade, and we're going to promote him to a new level to try to take over this whole thing. Because these little things, Simon and Tony have started a Salt and Light Brigade in New Zealand. Are you kidding me? And I'm getting emails every day from people who really want to try to do something. So, JR, if you can, just jump in here a minute and tell us a little bit about that show. By the way, folks, it'd be really, really good for you to hey, if you're like me, you're working out, want something to listen to, don't turn on Lynn Ball. Don't do that. This is pretty well done. JR, where do they find that? And then tell us a little bit of your reaction about it.
You'd go to BJ Edwards on YouTube.
Say that again. You broke up.
You go to BJ Edwards on YouTube. Just go to BJ Edwards. Can you hear me okay, Coach?
Yeah, I'll hear you now. Yes.
You go to BJ Edwards on YouTube. And I was trying to, yes, expose you as well as them. And you're like John the Baptist, brother. You're a voice in the wilderness. But we are so hungry for that voice, whether it be in the United States, in England, and New Zealand, all over the world. Everybody is looking for that voice. And you bring it to them. And these fellows are going to get together and get a group together and try to get it started. And Chad, if you can encourage these guys, you seem to have done a great job in Texas. Let these guys know what to do, how to do it. But I was just, it was a blessing talking to these guys. The startling thing, and I'll let you go, that I found out during that interview is the stark similarities between what's happening in New Zealand and what is happening in the United States. It is, well, they both have, their enemy, both, we all have the same, they have the same father. Their enemy does, and our enemy.
Right.
The homosexual issue, the government run schools, it all parallels each other.
Yeah, and you know, JR, one of the things that I was thinking of as I was listening to you, why are we letting this minority control everything? See, this is such a deep, deep spiritual issue. We've ignored that part of it, folks. We do not understand that what's going on is not a political thing, it's a spiritual thing. First above them, then beneath. And so what's happening in the spiritual realm is breaking out and manifesting itself in the natural realm. And I was like JR, you know, we Americans, we think that the gospel revolves around us here, right? And if it doesn't line up with what's going on here, God's an American, God's a conservative Republican, and anything outside of that box. So it was great listening, because these guys are, you know, they're starting to rise up. It's just exciting to me. So yeah, Chad, that's something that JR said. We got to get you in touch with those guys, because they've really stepped out of the boat, and I'm trying to encourage more people to do it. Listen, it's been my goal since I started this thing. I don't even know why I started it, but I tell everybody all the time, you got to build your own downline, man. You got to build your own downline. You got a partnership with people around you. And then Lowell sends me an email, says, Coach, when are we going to have a meeting here locally? Oh man, that smacked myself on the back of the head. We got to start getting organized in a lot of different places. I'm telling you this. There is an awakening beyond what I've ever seen. And it's a silent one. I find when I go to people, my pirate golf league that I go to, you guys know something about that pirate golf league. Those guys, they are with us, man. These guys are probably old dope smoking liberal Democrats in their past, but they're awake and they understand what's going on. But the missing ingredient is the church, the organization of the church. The church that's supposed to be the one that's leading this battle, missing in action. I got a guest coming up here in just a second. Hang in there with us. Tanya, we'll get right to you. And then I want to talk to David Arthur. David, come on in here. Are you censored again? I saw the activist mommy censored. I've been censored. David Arthur's been censored. David Arthur was up, then he's back down. Now you're off again, David. Hey, how long are we going to put up with this crap?
Yeah, you know what, Coach? Last night I received a message from Facebook saying that they restored the ministry page and that they removed some content by mistake, but they had since restored it. So then this morning I got an email from my mom saying she couldn't get on Facebook, that they wanted her to go through this whole spiel of things about. And so I went on her Facebook and I had to go through all these steps. They wanted her, they were suggesting to her to unlike and to remove the links that she's and the pages, like she shared one of your videos. They wanted her to, they suggested that she remove it to not have any more future problems. All of these things that they're doing. And then, so I jumped through the hoops and I did it. And then my page now again, the ministry page is now again, unpublished. It's removed. And so I'm speaking to Bill this morning about that consulting thing, and I'm going to ask him, you know, what are the steps? Because there's a class action lawsuit here.
I believe so too. And I believe there's maybe something already going on. But you know, David, I noticed something that you had said earlier. Nobody complains. Well, the problem is I don't know if we know who to complain to, right? And I go on my Facebook page and I flip it. It's the same information I had yesterday. I got thousands and thousands of followers, and I get the same stuff I had yesterday on my feed. So something's going on there. And here's what, again, tinfoil hat. Let me grab it real quickly here. A tinfoil hat is that I think something is coming ahead in regards to the election, in regards to this whole deep state thing, that they want to make sure that our side of the story doesn't get told. That's the only thing that I think. It's all about censorship. And making sure that only one side of the story gets told. David, is there anything anybody can do to help you? By the way, I keep hearing from people who thank me for introducing you to them. So I want you to know you got a lot of fans out there, David. Anything we can do to help you, man?
You know what? Just contact Facebook. I don't know. I mean, they're not listening. I mean, you know, I had over 10,000 followers, Coach, and maybe 50 people actually see any of the posts that I post.
Yeah, and that's crazy.
Twitter did it to me too. I had 30,000 followers on Twitter and woke up one morning to 300. So it's.
Yeah, it is. It's real post. Real. It's real, right? Where is that? How about Psalm 1, Jared? Let's go there real quick. Tanya, you hang on. Folks, I got a fireball coming up for you in a minute. Hey, bear with me a second. I got to.
Hey, Coach, while you're doing that? We got to start these platforms. They don't deserve our patronage. That's the thing. We use different things. Forget Facebook. Forget YouTube. Forget them.
Well, we know the market's going to give us another option, right? We know that. And it's time that we, like whatever we are, we need to smarten up here and band together and let the minority not be in control of us. I'm in Psalm 2, Jared. Did I say that? I probably said Psalm 1. But this is all. I got another thing to cover, and then I'm going to get Tanya in here. I got some good stuff to do.
You know what, Coach? Real quick, I just want to say that besides gab.ai, there is socialcross.org, and they have fixed a lot of the kinks that they had in the beginning. And I say, if a lot of us start going to these platforms and get used to them, then we won't have a problem when Facebook is shut down completely.
Facebook is Facebook. John Rappaport did a great thing on Facebook CIA, Google CIA. It's all started for information gathering. It's what it's all started for. And it's like everything else. It never ends up what you started out to be. I'm in Psalm 2. I'm hurrying because I got a lot to talk about. Why do the heathen rage? We're seeing it, aren't we? Aren't we seeing it today? Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? What does vain mean? Remember, without fruit, fruitless, empty. Why do people imagine vain, empty things? It's because the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointing. So there's that spiritual war that's going on. There's Google and Facebook and the CIA and that deep state that nobody wants to believe in. There it is. And then David said, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Let's stop being controlled by Google and Facebook and YouTube. Let's stop it. Let's find an alternative to it. Because you know why? It says that he that sitteth in the heavens is laughing. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I will give you the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for your possession. Folks, this, we're supposed to be occupying all this stuff. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear. Maybe that's why we're in a mess. Maybe we're not doing that. And rejoice with trembling. Kiss the son, lest he be angry, and you perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled, but a little. Blessed are all that put their trust in him. That's me. Put my trust in him. We're fighting a real fight. Got to move on here. Let me talk about something yesterday. Now, no matter how many times I say this, nobody listens. Yesterday's discussion, which, by the way, I had a great reaction from those of you out there in email land, Facebook land, wherever was I hear from you. Let me make this really, really clear. Okay, Enoch is not canon. I am not adding to anything. If I were to talk about, let's say I talk about the flood, and all, as Mark Trump would say, all the data that's there in the historic flood, would I be adding to it if I got a book that somebody wrote about what the flood would have been like? Is that adding to the scriptures? Of course not. It's alternative resources. I got this great big book of history over there that's full. We'll go to Hebrews 11, talk about the Faith Hall of Fame. And it says, time will not permit us to talk about, and unless all these guys, we don't have time to talk about. This isn't adding to. This is enlightening. This is opening your eyes. And my question was, I don't care about the giants and the Nephilim. I don't even care about all that. It doesn't matter to me. I'm asking, how did these things get built? How did these earthworks get built? How did the pyramids get built when we know it wasn't the way they told us it was? And they went out and they tried to come up with some way to get those big rocks up there, and they had horses and people pulling them. This is the way they figured it happened. They don't know how it happened. Now, the book of Enoch, which is not but biblical and is not adding to the scriptures, is one explanation for what happened. Now, yesterday, did I throw this up here, Jared? Yeah, Jared, put it up there. Anakim, I can't remember if I said this before or after the show was over. It doesn't matter. But I want you to listen. Do some research on your own. Don't be afraid to look at non-biblical sources to confirm biblical events. Why are we afraid to do that? And I never said, listen, you've got to believe the book of Enoch. If you don't believe and follow the book of Enoch, You are a reprobate. I never said that. Never. And the yesterday's discussion was not about the book of Enoch. Read it if you want to. I don't care. Doesn't matter. But boys and girls, it says in Genesis 6 that there were giants in the land in those days and awful also after. And if you look, who were the Anakim? Go to godanswers.com and there it is. They're talking about a race of giant warlock people. It's in the Bible. These giants were in the Bible. I don't know if they built the earthworks. I don't know. I don't know. But there's got to be some other explanation other than the Hopewell Indians grabbed a spoon and a cup and built those things.
Hey,
yeah.
People are disapproving of Enoch.
How does that work? Say it again. They disapprove of Enoch and use Google. Is that what you said?
Yeah, the internet's more spiritual than the friggin' Enoch, which used to be scripture.
It used to be scripture.
Before a group under King James decided it wasn't. It was scripture.
And see, it doesn't even matter to me. I am saying, I don't know if they're coming back. I don't know if they're buried somewhere. I don't know. But I'm telling you, if you go to the Newark Earthworks and you stand on that octagon mound, there ain't no way no Indian built that thing. Now, who did? And so I just put a plausible explanation out there. You have any?
Hey, I just wanted to say, remember you mentioned about the timing. The timing is very curious. If you say about 500 years ago, well, what was a big event that happened almost 500 years ago? America was discovered, right? 1492. 500 years of that is 1992. It's not too far removed from this date. So that's when they removed the Book of Enoch. Is it could be some tie-in with that?
Well, could it be, you know, nothing hidden will not be revealed. So listen, right. You can quit watching the show all you want to. And I'm telling you right now, I never said Enoch was scripture. All right? Never said that? And if you want to just look at the Bible only and not go to other sources of information, I don't know what to tell you. Okay, so I just want to get that clear. Email me if you need some more information on it. If you have more information on it, I don't care. But I know this. I stood in the middle of that golf course, and there ain't no guy living in a teepee who did that. All right? I don't know how it happened.
How many dump trucks?
What's that?
How many dump trucks?
400. I was walking yesterday, and I'm going to say this again because I know you didn't get it. 450 miles dump trucks lined up to do it. A dump truck, then another dump truck, and then another dump truck for 450 miles is the amount of dirt that was moved on those two sites. Those sites are 2 miles apart. 450 miles of dump trucks, one to another to another to another. They didn't have dump trucks. I don't even know if they had tires.
Hey, I got a question. You know, what you said yesterday and what you're talking about made me kind of think, what did they use to preach the word back in those days? They didn't have the New Testament back then, right?
Right.
But weren't they using those books as form of to tell the story of Noah and all that and everything like that? So, you know.
Hey, Paul, we do know this, don't we? You can read the story of Noah in the Bible and not really get it. I mean, we don't have all the data of what happened there. I mean, what a story that would be if we had a real unfolding of, and there have been books and books written about the flood, extra biblical sources trying to explain the flood, research being done about the flood. And all I'm saying is this was a plausible, wow, have you considered this, boys? Have you considered in that spiritual realm? Have you considered that somehow? I don't know, but I ain't afraid to look into it. Oh, there's all kinds of research out there.
I was going to say, Friday on Hagman, they had Steve Quayle and Tom Horn on. And it was really good. It was on for about 2 hours, and I listened to it last night. I'm telling you what, man. And they said something in there is that what's buried in those mounds? Giants?
Some are ceremonial. I learned this weekend that some of them just have to do with they believe whoever built those things, they believed in astrology. And most of them are built according to the stars, towards the seasons, towards the moons. All of those things are laid out specifically according to those types of things. So whether it was just a group of people worshiping the stars, worshiping the moon, I mean, just think about this. How would they keep records of where the sun came up or where the moon came up? How would they keep records over? They didn't even have records, I don't think. How did they study that every June 21st, the sun comes up there? Right there is where it comes. How did they verify that? And they had to verify all of that in order to build all these things, because all of these things are built upon where the sun comes up or where the moon goes down or where a star is, every one of them. How did they have that knowledge to be able to do it? It wasn't some guy smoking the peace pipe in his tent. I'm going to move on. This is so good. I don't know. Hey, guys, I don't know about you. This makes my faith come so alive. it just makes it come so alive. And
amen. I'm so through. Amen.
You know, I'm not chasing giants. I had a ball with L.A. Marzulli and all the stuff that he knows. And, you know, you can laugh all you want. But if you knew what L.A. Marzulli knew, you wouldn't be laughing. If you'd been to all the places around the world where he's seen these structures and studied these structures, you wouldn't be laughing. And most of you are laughing because you ain't never studied it. And your pastor hadn't told you about it. See? So I'm not going to come walking into church and start talking about giants because I don't know. But there's something going on. How? Did you know that? Okay, I'm going to tell you this. This would be a good one to shift gears on. Did you know when you used to watch the old cowboy movies and the cowboy would come walking, there'd be an Indian, and he'd say, "How?" Remember that? Google it. You know who did that? Because they were showing the Indians they had five fingers and not six. Is that something? How? They could count. And no, that's not in the, no, that's not in the church. No, that's, I mean, that's not in the Bible.
Well, you used to say how many?
How many? Oh, Lord. Okay, so here, I'm excited today because I was talking about, I'm excited every day. I was talking about Tony and talking about Simon and the fact that these brigades are expanding, and Ray moved up to Wisconsin on Rob Pugh's birthday today. Happy birthday, Rob. Ray's up there, and he's digging in a little bit with what's going on up in Wisconsin. We got a brigade going down in Goodwin, going down in Texas. We got starts of brigades other places. And we went to New York, Long Island this weekend, and then I sent out an email to people, say, hey, we were in Long Island. We want to connect with you. I want you to connect with other people. We're going to be in Bethlehem, PA, November 3rd, still working out where we're going to be. And I hear back from them. I'll be there. Let me know when. This is something good. But I got an email. I think there's an email, I don't know, a couple weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, four. Time goes fast. From I get a lot of emails. I try to respond to everyone. To this, seemed like a sweet lady, although you can't tell an email. She seems sweet. Saying, you know, boom, I want to do it. Help me. I want to do it. So I responded back and led to a couple conversations. And in the midst of the conversation, I thought, my goodness, this is more. This is what we're looking for. But this is more than just some mom sitting in her house baking cookies. There's something big here. So I met Tanya, got on the phone with Tanya. When I hung up the phone with Tanya, I usually make people excited. She made me excited as I listened to her. So I invited her to come on today, not to talk just only about what we're going to do in Bethlehem, PA on November 3rd, which we're still going to get all that together, but what the heck's happened to her. So Tanya, come on in here, crack open this walnut and tell us what's going on. Welcome.
Oh, hi. Hi, Dave. Hi, everyone. Just so you know, I know that my picture's not showing with my 484 number, but I am making comments on there because on Twitter I was accused of being a white female pretending to be black. So, so in case anyone wants to, you know, make sure that I am who I say I am. It's pretty funny with the social media.
This probably sounds awful. You don't sound black. I mean, that sounds awful to say, but I, you know, when we had our first conversation, had you told me, I would have never known.
Oh, well, my mother was, wanted me to be very educated, and she was very, you know, proactive in me sounding well educated. So I get that a lot, but I want to thank you first of all for having me on your show. After watching you, you really encouraged me to really get on the front lines. Because honestly, I was just, like I told you, I was just sitting on my hands just complaining. But I have to also thank Mark Taylor and Michael Ortega from Strike Force of Prayer, because without them, I would have never discovered you and never been on this journey, which I'm on. All the glory goes to God, of course. And also Brother Greg Johnson, he's another prayer warrior as well. But this has been an incredible journey for me. I just a little backstory, if you don't mind me telling.
Sure, please do.
I worked for several entertainment companies, one being fake news, one that our president talks about all the time, which he is very correct on that, and that's one of the reasons why I had left, because I had refused to lie and destroy pictures and documents and all that good stuff. But
you were in the media business, Tanya. You were in the media business.
Yes, I sure was. Yeah, and that was probably like the worst job I ever had. But moving forward, I since after, you know, being in entertainment and Hollywood and in the music industry and in media, I just got really fed up and saw what was going on, and that just wasn't me. So I met a wonderful man and got married and have two great children, and I do live in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. But when I was working at this media outlet, which I cannot say due to non-disclosure situation, I know that they're monitoring me, so because they know I'm a troublemaker in their sense of the word. But I was in a really bad relationship, and I was at my dream job at this media firm in New York City, and I wasn't feeling well for some time, and went to the doctor, found out I was pregnant. Which to me, that was like kind of like a death sentence, because I was a career woman, you know, and at that time I was pro-choice. And it's really ironic. I was more concerned about animal rights and animals being euthanized than I was about babies, unborn babies, which is really twisted now that I look back at it. But that was my reality at that time. So I went forward with the abortion, but I know the day that I did go, I said to God, I was like, well, you know, if there's any kind of pro-life people outside of the abortion clinic, you know, I won't do it. That would be like a sign. That was my logic. And I really didn't mean it. But there was no one out there. So I did the abortion, and as I was coming to, I didn't realize it already happened, and I told the doctor, you know, stop, don't do it, and it already happened. And I tell you, ever since that, my life had been it was just horrible. I attempted to commit suicide many times. I mean, it was just, it was misery. It was a decade of misery.
They don't talk about that, Tanya. They don't talk about what a woman goes through afterwards.
Especially when they don't.
And has a conscience, and it almost without forgiveness from the Lord, that spirit never leaves.
Yes, exactly. And it was just horrible. I mean, everything just fell apart for me. But I actually, just a few weeks ago, I had a prayer call from the Shrek Book of Prayer, and I talked about that, and I didn't realize I had to give myself. And I have some great prayer warriors like Trina and Greg who really brought forth, you know, that the Lord does forgive me, but I didn't forgive myself because of that. And this was like 19 years ago. So I've been carrying that for 19 years. And now that I find out, when I saw the video with the woman that you had, the pathologist that you had on, that just mortified me, that I was lied to. I didn't think of it as a human. And I know that sounds crazy now, but, you know, as a young, you know, 20 something year old, you don't think of that. And, you know, you are lied to, essentially. So that's why I think it's very important for people like me to stand up and say, you know, I regret it, you know, and this is not the right thing to do. There's always options, you know, instead of the murder, that's plain out murder. So.
Amen. I'm with you. So this transformation then took place, and you went from the dark side to the light side after you had the abortion, and so let's fast forward here, Tanya. What's going on? What spurred you to action? What's pulled you out of your hiding place? Lack of
well, I got saved 2 years ago. And I had a really bad experience that, you know, the Lord, when you're not going his way, he makes it very difficult for you to do anything else. And I was at my bottom. I had nowhere else to go, but I depended on my Lord, and he brought me to Mark Taylor's site and then Strike Force of Prayer. And through all of that and learning that I had a lot of generational curses, and I am part Native American, and I had a lot of generational curses I had to deal with there. And in addition, I have some of my family members, you know, were drug traffickers, so I had to repent for that. So I had a lot of things I had to deal with before I could move forward. But I just don't let the state of this. I am a Trump supporter through and through. I've liked him since the 90s when I worked in Manhattan. I've heard nothing but great things about him. Even as a liberal, I actually liked him because he was a Democrat back then. So, you know, he was a good guy, you know, quote unquote. And it's just some of my kids, like, you know, the things that they're teaching my son here, that LGBTQT is in our school system. You know, they're infiltrating our kids, and that is what really pissed me off. And I said, you know what, and after seeing what you've been doing, I said, I have to get off my butt. I really do, and I have to just go out there, irregardless of anyone who, and from my past, who may come back. I'm not afraid of that, because I know I'm on a mission, and nothing's going to stop me. Only the Lord above. But I'm finally, completing his will for me and moving forward with that. So,
you know, Tanya, you're a lot like David Arthur in that you're a poison pill to the left, in that you are a black woman who had an abortion, who regrets it, and will speak out. Mm-hmm. And all of our battle in the abortion movement, as I've been doing over the last 20-some years, they hate that. They hate that, right? Because they try to tell us every woman is rescued by abortion. They don't talk about race at all or a genocide in regards to all of it all. And the unspoken lie in this whole abortion movement are black women and black babies. So your voice is really, really, really important.
Yes, yes. And I also, for any woman that is listening who's had an abortion and you have repented, a prayer warrior mentioned a Kat Carr, who has a really great video on YouTube in regards to aborted babies. And I recommend that for anyone who's recovering from that to view that video. But I have to say, I'm so thrilled that we are doing this thing November 3rd. I also have another event on September 8th in Philadelphia. I don't know if you heard about the Gosnell, the abortionist who killed. I'm doing a remembrance at the Laurel Hill Cemetery on September 8th at 9:30 a.m. for the 47 aborted babies that were buried at that cemetery. So I'm trying to get people out there and, to just bring awareness to this as well. So,
well, Tanya, we'll get to you. Let's share that information, and we certainly will get it out to you. You're organizing this on your own?
Well, I have there's a pro-life league that I'm working with, but essentially I'm doing most of the legwork, so which I don't mind. I'm just it's something that the Holy Spirit called me to do, and I'm going to obey.
What woke you up, Tanya?
Basically, poverty, to be honest with you. I was going the wrong way, and just being at my very bottom, and I had nowhere else to go. That's what did it. And, you know, whether it sounds, if it sounds trivial to some people, but to me, that was a big wake-up call. And that's why I returned to the Lord, because I really didn't have a chance as a child. I mean, I grew up in a very evil household. I've had people who said they were Christians, but were molesting children, and we've known priests that were, you know, doing just things with, you know, the drug traffickers that were in my family and the politicians, you know. So I really didn't have a good head start, but, with the grace of God, he did save my life many times as a child. Being in that type of situation, there was 5 attempts on my life. I had a gun to my head at 10. So just to give you an idea of how I started off at, I really didn't have a good structure to begin with. But with the Holy Spirit living in me, I overcame all of that, and I'm so happy. So now I just want to help other people to get to the point where I am. So.
Well, folks,
amen, Tanya.
So listen, now, folks, I'm going to let you guys jump in and ask some questions. Hey, Dr. Roof, good to see you, man. Bless you, man. Good to have you with us. Folks, listen, we have an obligation. Listen, we have an obligation to stand with Tanya. She stepped out. I know Gary's involved. I've already connected several different people to Tanya. But those of you, if you are within a day's drive of Bethlehem, PA on November 3rd, go ahead and put that on your calendar, November 3rd, Bethlehem, PA. We'll get more. Information to you regarding it. But she stepped out. She wants to do something, and I know there are others in that area who want to do it. Now I'm going to go out there. David Arthur, I'm betting, is going to hop in there and go with me. Anybody wants to go with me out there? We need to, folks, we need to begin to do this all across the nation. I got some stuff on I'm going to throw up here in a second, but Tony was talking about the evil that we are allowing to go on right in our own communities and nobody standing up and pushing back against it. How did we get to the point where the minority are in control of everything? They are in control of everything. The heathen are raging and God's people are we're just kind of sitting on our hands. That's one of the things, JR, that Simon Owen said yesterday from New Zealand. He said, man, a coach got, I started listening to Coach and he was talking about a Christianity that, wow, I'd never heard about that kind of Christianity. And he said, it really, really appealed to me to get off your butt and do something Christianity. And that's really where we find ourselves and what we have to do. Somebody want to come in here and ask Tanya something? I'm going to pull something else here as we do.
Hey, Tanya, I just want to thank you for joining us and giving us your story. It's very inspirational.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. It's a little nerve-wracking, but...
There are Tanyas all over America. I'm speaking to those of you who are watching right now. There are Tanyas all over America. The Lord will equip you. If you step out, the Lord will equip you. How about this one? I think I'm going to make a movie. If you build it, they will come.
Amen.
And I really believe that in communities all across America, people are just looking for somebody to run up a hill, stick a flag in the ground, and said, I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it.
Tanya, by the way, this is another black. This is a black guy here, just in case you couldn't tell by the voice.
This sounds like one of those Brooklyn, but he's really, you know, he's a wall. But Tanya, I wanted to ask you, have you connected with Kathy Barnett yet, or anybody?
No.
Kathy Barnett is, she's actually been on Fox News a few times. They've had her on like Fox and Friends, but she's right there in your area. She's in the Norristown area. If you look into the WFYL 1180 radio station out of Norristown,
then. Well, Dave, maybe we can connect the two of them together.
Yeah, that would be great.
Tony, she recommended the Valley Forge Conference Center. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but she's recommended that to David as the place that we could go and have this event. So again, these Lord's going to make these supernatural connections for us.
Absolutely.
We just have to have somebody step out and make it happen. Dr. Roof, I know Dr. Roof wants to do it out in Iowa. This is going to get good. This is going to get good. Somebody else, come on in.
Well, if no one else has anything to say, okay.
Go ahead. They'll come in. What's that? Tanya.
I didn't hear that. I'm sorry.
How do you spell your name? T-O-N-I-A.
T-O-N-Y-A. Yep. I'm on the side where the chat is on there, so I made some comments.
Okay. So we're going to – she's right now just not in a position to say, you know, let's see her and all. Listen, we have a lot of people who are in that position who are working and don't want their name out there yet. Okay, so we respect, she's not hiding, she's the real deal, but we just respect her privacy. Same thing with our doctor friend, the pathologist friend. Mm-hmm. No, we haven't let that one lay on the ground either. Our pathologist friend with the aborted babies. Can I show you how crazy we are, folks? Let me show you. Jared, go to the stuff I sent you today and pull up the unlawful ending of a pregnancy. This is like, this is how crazy we are. Jared's got it up there on the screen. Jared, you don't have to play anything other than I don't know if you guys saw this. A man is accused of killing his pregnant wife, his daughters, but he said he walked in on his wife when she was strangling the children. Now, I don't even care about all this. You want to see one of the greatest hypocrisies you'll ever see? Jared, scroll down to the bottom of this page. You can read the article if you want to. I'm not going to read. She was killed. She was pregnant. There she is on the screen. Her two children were killed. She was killed. She's pregnant. They said the father is the one that did it. The father says, no, she strangled the girls, and I went berserk and killed her because they were going to break up. Now, it tells the whole story going down there. Oh, here's what happened. Are you ready? Here we go. On down the bottom, Jared. Here we go. Stay right there. The cause of death for the victims has not been revealed. Watts, this is the father, husband, was formally charged with 5 counts of murder. Huh? Mom? Daughter? Daughter? Huh? As well as tampering with the deceased human body, and are you ready? Unlawful termination of pregnancy.
What the bloody?
Now, what is an unlawful termination of a pregnancy? Would that be an abortion?
Huh? Sounds like it to me, Coach.
How can there be laws against that thing when it's just a blob of tissue?
Hypocrisy.
You see how schizophrenic we are? See, in America, Tanya, a baby is protected if it's wanted.
Yeah.
If it's not wanted, then it's a blob of tissue, right?
Yep.
And so, so what we see here, this is unlawful because evidently the mother wanted it. Now, if I was this guy, I would say, you know, it's funny. We just had a conversation the night before, and she told me that she didn't want any more children, and I didn't have the money for an abortion, so I just figured I'd just do it myself. And she died in the process of me getting rid of that blob of tissue that she doesn't want. These are the type of things, guys, girls, that we have to expose. Somebody come on in here. Yeah. Rescue me.
Hey, Tanya. My name's Paul. I'm another black guy.
That
sounds like you're white. And just want to welcome you to the huddle.
Thank you. Awesome testimony,
girl. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not the half of it. Wait till you hear my full testimony. Which you know, and the reason why I'm hiding some of my name in the for the Google's sake, because I know they're monitoring my on Google. My site has been banned. I've been banned on Twitter just for saying sodomite preacher should repent. So I'm being watched by Google and some of my former employers. So that's why when it comes to like an actual show, I didn't want to say my last name, but I am. I'll give Coach Dave some information that was about my call and everything that gives more detail of who I am.
We won't share all that until it's appropriate anyway, Tanya. So don't worry about that. Hey, Tanya, just kind of as an aside, and I've heard from Paul and Vinny, what are you seeing happening in the black community in regards to where we are politically?
Well, you know what's funny? I think there's a lot of my cousin who is outside of Philly. She's coming around, but it's ironically on my son's soccer team, another black woman. I actually knocked on her window. She was sitting in the car during a tournament, and I saw she had the Trump prophecies, and she was trying to hide it. And I said, no, you don't have to hide it. I'm for Trump, too. And I'm happy reading Mark Taylor's book. And we rejoice. She's like, I'm so scared to death to say anything. But I told her, we have to come out. And I know it's frightening, but we have to come out. You know, and she really doesn't have, not knocking her, but I have a lot of people who are watching me because I've been in the entertainment industry and because of my family and their political influence. There's a lot of things I have to contend with, but she can, be freer than I am to do that. You know, I am doing what I have to do, but I'm following the Holy Spirit's time. I'm following what the Lord is directing me to do at each time. So
you know that media is in fact demonic. You do know that the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and his anointed. You have experienced it and seen it firsthand. Yes or no?
Yes, and when I worked at this music music label, I actually walked into a CEO's office to give him some files, and there was like an altar with all these candles, and it gave me like the chills and the creeps, and I just ran out of there. But this is all Illuminati based, and when I was a child, I was involved in this international scandal with another family member. It had nothing to do with me, but I was a witness. And I had the press hounding me, and I wasn't going to come forward to say that this person was lying. And someone from, the secret societies basically threatened me to kill my brother if I were to go and say what happened, the truth about this. And an innocent person went to jail for that you know, I later, a decade later, I later contacted him and you know, gave him my support and told him I was trying to tell the truth of what my relative was doing. And he understood and we had a good friendship after that. But there's a lot of evil, and, you know, with my family, who are Freemasons, and it goes back to the early 1600s. And who are part of these secret societies. I remember, I now have flashbacks of different things that went on in my household, rituals and things that involved me as a child, what they were preparing me to do. They were destining me to be a part of the family business. They weren't planning on me being saved, you know. They had other plans for me, but with the grace of God, they didn't succeed. So, like I said, I have a lot more to say,
this is important for us to understand. This whole deep state, controlled media, CIA, John Rappaport, I should have brought that in there, talking about the origins of Google, the origins of Facebook. It's all manipulation. And what I believe deeply is going on with the censoring is what's coming down the pike is going to be so hard for the average person to believe that the media is going to want to be able to control the narrative. And they can't do it if Alex Jones is out there and if the Hagmans are out there. And if we're all out there telling the truth, they are not going to be able to control the narrative. That's why I think it's going on. And, you know, we know that the powers that be that control the media are real, and they are not on the Lord's team. Somebody come
on. Hey, Coach. Yes. The media, and I've said this a couple of times, they're the propaganda arm of the intelligence agencies and the evil scumbags. So let's preface this a little bit. I blackpilled some of my neighbors because I had anticipated that, you know, at some time some situation would come about. That situation came about last weekend when I brought Don to my house to sleep.
Vinny, explain black pill.
Okay, so I told a bunch of people who were talking about Donald Trump in front of my building, I said, what did Hillary Clinton ever do for you? In fact, what did she ever do for Haitians? Think about it, in 2010, they were eating mud cakes and she was taking advantage and stealing children. So why are you invested in this idiot? Donald Trump has done so much more for you people. Think about that. So when Don was walking into my building, he walked in front of a bunch of these people that I blackpilled, that I told the truth about. So that's what blackpilling is, telling the truth about something. So once I walked into the building, I didn't encounter any problem, and I didn't have to hear about, why'd you bring Whitey to the neighborhood? Or any kind of stupid crap like that.
Right. Okay, man. So you blackpill them. That's a new one. Give them the truth. Blackpill them. Blackpill them. For sure. One more thing. Speaking of black pills, let's slip this in, because what's going on, folks, is just, I've warned us and people laugh and say it's not real. That's not really going on. Jared, bring up what's going on in South Africa. I don't know if you folks have seen this. If there's a real genocide going on in South Africa, look at this. Whites must not have access to food, education, jobs, land, and other basic things. Now, this is an EFF. It's not a government agency. But, you know, they're stealing property from these white farmers again. It's amazing.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
You know where a lot of those white farmers are going to? They're going to Russia.
They're going to Russia. I did hear that. Gone to Russia.
You know, everybody talks about illegal immigration. You know, we ought to have a program where we bring some of them over to our country.
How about that?
A lot of our farms are going away.
There you go. Let's import those farmers.
But they were blocking Christians from coming here. And yeah, of course those farmers. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, they're productive.
Well, here's what I'm trying to say, I guess. I'm listening to JR's interview yesterday with Simon Owen and Tony. This is worldwide, fellas. This is worldwide. And I'm going to plop right down here and I'm going to say it again. The white Anglo-Saxon Protestant took the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. That's who did it. And everywhere you look, you talk about oppression against blacks. I'm sure that it occurs. I think it's much of it is blown out of proportion. Oppression against gays, all the oppression against all these minorities. And when we look around, the real oppression that we see going on in America is what? The deplorables, right? That's really what's going on when government tyranny is so strong against a majority. And they've done such a great job of making us ashamed of our heritage that we cower and we don't even speak, fight back. That's why it's important we understand that we are in a battle to save Western civilization. Christianity is going to continue. We don't know how the Lord's going to allow that to continue. But Western civilization, as we heard from Mark Sutherland the other day, it's about over in the UK. It's about over in the UK. It's about over in South Africa. And they're trying to do the exact same thing. Take that one, right wing watch, because that is the truth. Help me wind it up here, boys. We got just 5 minutes. Somebody.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
There's one thing you forgot. You said white, Anglo-Saxon, Protestant, but also include heterosexual in that too.
Thank you. There's a sharp listener right there. That's right. If you're a heterosexual, you're under assault. If you're an ex-homosexual, you're under assault. Go ahead, Jared.
Well, to steal the line from David Arthur, there is only heterosexuals. There's no such thing as a homosexual.
Amen.
That's called sin.
It's called sin. That's right, buddy.
We are designed heterosexual. We can't change our design, just like we can't change our DNA.
Amen. Amen. Tanya, we've got a couple minutes left. Give us a takeaway. What is it that you want to try to do, Tanya? That's a broad question, I know. But in your heart.
No, it's not. No, it's not. But the Lord has given me a plan. And I learned not to about the how. How am I going to do this? I just, every day I ask what I need to do. So that's why I formed my website. So what I'm going to do is I'm forming my own record label for Righteous Artists, because the music that these kids are hearing is demonic. I've seen it at work, trust me. I know what these artists go through and the orders that they're given from above, meaning that the heads, the CEOs of these demonic corporations. I'll be starting my a film company with documentaries, which I'm going to be going around the country in 2019 to meet some of my prayer warriors from Strike Force of Prayer, and just to kind of connect and I'm trying to encourage boots on the ground. I know that Michael Ortega and Mark Taylor mentioned that, and I'm trying to get a lot of these Strike Force people to really stand up in their community and be proactive. And traveling, that's what I want to do. I want to I want to go to Arkansas with the Ten Commandments crap that's going on there, and I want to help out a sister out there who's trying to do some good there. So that's what's going on currently.
You're my kind of girl, Tanya. Jared, Psalm 119 real quickly. Psalm 119, Tanya, this is for you. And this is for others out there who are struggling. The Lord just gave, this just came to my remembrance. This is Psalm 119, verse 105, okay? let's just start with 105, 119. Right there, Jared. Oh, I love this one. Verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now, I want you to think about this. I don't know. When I was a young kid, we used to camp a lot with my brothers, and we'd go out in the woods and smoke cigarettes and do things we weren't supposed to do. We had those Coleman lanterns, and we'd always be out walking down the path. And my brother Joe, he was our oldest brother, he always kept the lamp down near the ground so that you could see step by step where you were going. You weren't going to trip over anything. You weren't going to step on a snake. The light was down where your path was. And then you couldn't see where you're going, really. You could just see 1 foot. And then somebody would say, how much farther is it? And my brother Joe would raise up the lantern, and then we could see down the path. But you cannot walk down the path with the light up. And you understand what I'm saying? This scriptural walk is a step at a time. And if you get your lantern up and you're looking, trying to see where you're heading, rather than worrying about just putting one foot in front of another as you go, you're going to head into trouble. So your word, Tanya, is a lamp unto your feet. He's directing your feet, and it is a light unto your path. And you lift your lamp up to look at the path only when there's some question about whether you are heading in the right direction. Otherwise, keep that lamp low, step by step. Go where the Lord has called you to be. God bless you. Thanks for being with us today, Tanya. We'll be in touch. Thank you. November 3rd, Bethlehem, PA. Bless you, folks. We'll see you tomorrow.